Heavenly Father, in one sense it's appropriate. In one sense it is appropriate, Heavenly Father, that we have these troubles to remind us of the real suffering that is going on in our world. And we would much prefer at least to have this 1 hour run smoothly. But we think of the people at
Parkside, and we remember the 90 people infected there, the 45 staff, and all the staff who continue to go out day by day in spite of the risk to care for the people who live there. But for this moment, Father, we still our hearts and minds, and we ask that by your Spirit we would hear you speak to us, that your word would accomplish its purpose in our hearts and in our minds, so that we would be prepared to go out and serve you this coming week at a time when so many are struggling to control their frustrations, their sadness, and their own pain. May we hear you speak to us in a way that gives us life and courage. In your Son, Jesus Christ, in his name we pray. Amen. Zechariah provides a contrast with Mary, whom we will be looking at next week. An angel, literally a messenger in Greek, an angel came to Zechariah. And of course, an angel came to Mary. The angel came to Zechariah and said, your wife is going to have a son. The messenger came to Zechariah and said, to Mary and said, you will have a son. But there the similarities end. Zechariah did not believe God. Mary said, your will be done to me. Let's note, Zechariah was not an atheist. He wasn't a Gentile. He wasn't a pagan. He wasn't someone who sat at the back of the church. With apologies to those who were sitting back there. Sorry, Marv. And kept his head down. Zechariah was a priest, a devout Jew. He knew the stories of God. So why could this man be full of doubt when God spoke? I suppose we could perhaps understand that we hear all these stories. For those of us who've grown up in a church, who have been part of a church for years, we grow up with these stories of God's acting and God's speaking, and yet in our own lives, it seems so rare, or maybe it never happens. And so we adjust. And on the one hand, we remain faithful to God and we trust that God is present. But if we were to have a messenger arrive and say, this is going to happen, perhaps we too would doubt. For Zechariah, God doing something new was impossible. Zechariah looked at the circumstances and said, this is not going to happen. There's no hope. Verse 18, he says, I am old. My wife is well along in years. Look at the circumstances. It's not going to happen. For Zechariah, God doing something new was impossible given who he was. He looked at himself and said, I can't do this. For Zechariah, God doing something new was impossible because in all of his years, he had never seen this happen before, and therefore it wasn't likely going to happen now. For neighbors and relatives, it was no different. Something new wasn't possible. In verse 59, we heard they wanted to name the child once Elizabeth conceived and gave birth, the neighbors and relatives wanted to name the child Zechariah. This child must be like his father. This child must belong to this family and must resemble them and be like them. What that family is what this child will be. That's the way things work. Something new can't happen. And as an aside, Too often, this is the case. Parents and grandparents, out of love, too often, perhaps, or at times, insist that a child must be a certain way. And out of love, control the child and control their family. And there's no room for something new to take place. No room for something new to grow in that child. For the family, it was impossible that God would do something new. But then, even though Zechariah was old, even though Elizabeth was well along in years, in verse 63 we heard that when the child was born, in spite of the objections of the family, Zechariah wrote out, "His name will be John." And after a full year of being mute, Zechariah's tongue was loosened, his mouth was opened, and he began to praise God out loud. And Zechariah's newfound faith and belief in God unlocked faith among his neighbors and his family. May God accomplish the same among us. In verse 6, we heard suddenly the friends and the family have changed what they're saying. No longer are they looking at this child and know what to expect. No longer is it their plans and their agenda. And now they look at the child with new eyes and they wonder, what then will this child be? If only as parents and as a church, we could look at our children that way with a question. What will they be? What will God accomplish through them? Well, what did all of this mean for Zechariah and Elizabeth? If you look at the song that Zechariah began to sing in verse 68, it meant God had visited them. In verse 78, it meant that God felt tender mercy toward them. And we might add that even though Zechariah and Elizabeth had not believed, they had not believed, and yet God held a tender mercy for them. In verse 78, it was like the sun rising in the darkness. In verse 25, we heard Elizabeth say, God has taken away my disgrace. In verse 68, it meant redemption for them. In verse 71, it meant no more hate, no more enemies. In verse 74, no more fear. In verse 75, what's implied is that there is no more sin. Now, holiness and righteousness. And in verse 79, they have hope in the face of death. And God was leading them into shalom, peace, that wholeness and fulfillment of life. When God speaks, even through a messenger, this is what it is like. This Christmas, as we read scripture, as we gather for worship and listen to the words of scripture being read to us, as you at home are lighting the Advent candles and reading scripture, as you're creating those Advent decorations and reading the scriptures, as you speak to one another about what God has done in your life, all of this are messengers from God. These are messages sent to prepare us for Jesus' coming. Do you believe? Will we believe the words of the messengers? Is there any darkness in your life? Is it impossible that God will visit you and bring you light? Is there any disgrace or shame? Is there any fear or worry or anxiety? Is there hate? Do you feel that you have enemies? And to follow Zechariah's line of thinking in his song, Do you feel hate for political reasons? Do you feel you have enemies for political reasons? Is there sin? Is death's shadow touching you? This is the redemption that made Zacharias sing. Not that all his problems were solved. Not that the darkness vanished completely. In this life, there will be darkness. Now, there is a dawn coming one day, after which will follow no night. But for now in this world, there is darkness. But for Zechariah and for Elizabeth, God's visiting them was a light shining in the darkness. God has tender mercy for you. God visits you. Will we believe? Our preparation for Christmas is to believe the Word of God. Our preparation for Christmas is to believe the Word of God's messengers. Even if you look at your life right now and what you are capable of and think, it just isn't possible. I can't carry on. I can't handle all of this. Even if you look at your life and think, it's never happened before that God has done something new. This Christmas, remember that when God speaks, it is like a light in the darkness. So let us wait and watch and pray and hope. Let us sit with God's word and let it be a light rising in our hearts. Let us continue to gather together for worship. Let us remember Jesus' promise to us. Those who seek will find. To all those who knock, the door will be opened. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the midst of where we are, every year we celebrate that you came to live among us, that you visited us. We pray as we gather for communion, for worship, and that throughout our week, we would have eyes and ears to recognize your coming among us, and that we would pay attention to your word, and let it be a reminder that your word is a light in our hearts and in our world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.